to Daniel, one of the grounding and core verses that I laid down, or the Word of God says that I wanted as a core verse for us as we journey through Daniel, was Romans chapter 12, verses 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed with the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you know, God's will for you, towards you, is good. God's will towards you is pleasing. God's will towards you is perfect. I pray you receive that today. Some of the truths that we have been discovering, and I feel and believe that we need to build into our life. If we are going to navigate today's culture and all the confusion and things that are happening in our world for believers, if we are going to successfully navigate, now that's not to say we're never going to go through life without any problems. Things will happen. I'm sorry to say, it's a truth. Jesus said, in this world, you will have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so one of the truths, you've got to know who you really are. You've got to know who you are as a believer. You are a child of the living God. Hallelujah. You're a child of the living God. Do you know, I know many of us may not feel that. Circumstances and things in life will just suffocate that out of our lives, but know today that truth. And I believe the Holy Spirit can bring that revelation further into your heart, that you are a child of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, I'm a child of God. We've got to know that. We discovered that in chapter 1. How Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian culture wants to change your identity. Our world wants to form you into their mold, but God is molding us into his image. We are created in his image. Truth number two, you've got to know who is really in control. You've got to know who's in control, church. God is in control. God is in control. Even when things don't seem to be happening, God is in control. Even when it looks like God is not in control, God is in control. And we saw that. We saw that in Daniel chapter 2, as Nebuchadnezzar set up that huge image. The dream of the different kingdoms. And God was saying to him, I can give you the kingdom and I can take your kingdom away. And God, another truth, God raises up kingdoms and God can remove kingdoms. God is in control. Truth number three, you've got to know who you can depend on. You've got to know who you can depend on. And one thing, one person you can 100% totally depend on is God. The fiery furnace, three men who were not bow to that golden image were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they had an opportunity to change their mind, but they declared, you know, we know that our God will save us. And one of the things I'm learning more and more is just the next phrase, but if not. Do you know, I think sometimes in our life there is a but if not. And I really believe that's where God wants us to get to. Because we all want it fixed. We want delivered. We want everything to go right for us, good for us. But what if? And the good news was, as these three men were thrown into that fiery furnace, there was a fourth man in that fire. Jesus. And you know, whatever fiery trial you're going through, know that there is a fourth man. Jesus is with you. Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. That is truth. Are you still waking up? Lesson number four for today. I racked my brain. I was thinking, God, what? The only thing that I could think of was, beware of pride. Live in humility. Beware of pride. That is the lesson that we are going to see today from Daniel chapter 4. Later on, we're going to be ministering into the whole area of just our mind. And so I am aware that it's very sensitive. You know, we have, with the whole area of the mind, there is fears, there is worries, there is anxiety, there's depression. There's so many things that are happening in our mind. And I believe God is going to break some mindsets today. Chapter 4, the first three verses is a testimony. A testimony. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race, nation, and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are the signs and how wonderful, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever. His rule through all generations. Chapter 1 begins with the end where Nebuchadnezzar has learned something about himself and about God. And with scholars are in debate about whether Nebuchadnezzar put that there or told Daniel he could say it, or whether Daniel just threw it in there. But one thing's for sure, Nebuchadnezzar discovered God and who he was there. This is a testimony about God's miracle in his life. This story is set in Babylon. Not by the rivers of Babylon. This story is set in Babylon. And I want to say also that Babylon is not just a physical place. I think Babylon, they say, is modern day is Iraq, is where Babylon is, or what that was called. But Babylon is not just a place. Babylon is a mentality. Babylon is a mentality. The mentality of Babylon is, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's not about you. It's all about me, Jesus. All about, not about you. That is the Babylon mentality. And we'll give hankies out for those that have been moved to tears. Sorry for the online folks. The Babylon mentality is about me. Me, myself, I. Me, myself, I. There in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, or Babel. Chapter 11, verse 4, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heaven. And then we see the reason for the building, so that we may make a name for ourselves. A name for ourselves. The NLT version says, this will make us famous. And many people are wanting to be famous. Britain's Got Talent. So, I mean, all these shows, people just wanting their time on stage. I've said myself, I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a film star. I wanted people to, I was destined for the stage. And I am on a stage, but it's not the stage I wanted, Rose. I wanted another stage, the stage of Hollywood there. But God had plans and purposes for my life. And there was a stage where he wanted me to be on, to bring the word of God. And many times God has, dealt with some of the stuff in me. Stephen, you want a name for yourself. Truth, I'm opening up my heart. That I wanted to be known as the man who just transformed Dundee. The man who grew the church from 50 to 2,000. How will we get 2,000 in here? But God will come after pride. God will come after pride. And so there, we want to be famous is what the Babylon mentality. The Babylon mentality elevates self and lowers God. And this is a pride issue. This is a pride issue. Isaiah chapter 47, Isaiah speaks into Babylon. He's prophesying the destruction of Babylon. He is using words like, listen, you pleasure-loving kingdom, you felt secure in your wickedness. You said that no one sees me. You say that I am the only one and there is no other. And so Isaiah is speaking into just that pride of Isaiah. Revelation 18 talks about the final destruction of Babylon. So it's not just a place. It is a mentality. In Revelation, you will see the words spoken into that situation in Babylon. Passionate immorality. Babylon, it says, she glorified herself and lived in luxury. She boasted, I am the queen of my throne. And again, pride. Pride. And there will be a final destruction of Babylon as we see in Revelation. And then there was a call to the people of God in that, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins. Are you blessed this morning? Back to your story. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar. And as you start to read in verses 4, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's lengthy. And you don't want to be hearing my voice all the time. Nebuchadnezzar, living in his palace in comfort and prosperity. He's got it made. He's in charge. He is the most powerful king at that time. No one can come against him. Everyone's doing what he says. And so he's living in comfort and prosperity. And what happens? He gets another dream. Do you know, as you think about that, God is tenacious coming after this man, isn't he? And you just wish that Nebuchadnezzar would learn his lesson the first time. Do you know what I mean? Seeing this statue of the different metals. And that was a warning to him. I can give you a kingdom, I can take it away. But what does he do? He goes out and builds a huge gold statue to himself and wants people to worship down and bow to it. And here in chapter 4, God brings another dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar's terrified of this dream. And so he calls all his advisors. And this time he actually tells them the dream. And the advisors are like, well, we don't even know what that dream means. And even if we hazard a guess, I'm sure you're going to get Daniel, who's just going to come and prove us wrong. I don't know where Daniel was, but it says that Daniel eventually came. And Daniel was the one that interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And this was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw a large tree, very tall, very strong. God has been on his case, as I said. This tree reached the heavens for all the world to see. Fresh green leaves, loaded with fruit. Wild animals lived in its shade. Birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. But then a messenger from heaven came and cut down the tree, lopped off the branches, shook off the leaves, scattered the fruit, chased the wild animals from under the tree, the birds from the branches, but there was left a stump with roots there in the ground. This speaks into the grace and the mercy of God. Because God's purpose was to bring restoration. God's purpose was to bring Nebuchadnezzar to a place where he would acknowledge God again and be restored. And you know, God will allow us, I believe, to go through things that we come to that place where our trust is in him. And the dream goes on, let him live with the wild animals and the plants of the field for 7 periods of time. Some say that is 7 years. Some people say 7 is a perfect number, that was God's time that he was putting Nebuchadnezzar through, that was God's perfect time for him. He would have the mind of wild animal instead of human. Wow. What a dream. Anyone had a dream like that? And Daniel, he is quite fearful of bringing that message to the king. Because even the king says, Daniel, look, don't be afraid. Just tell me. Just tell me. And then in Daniel chapter 4, verses 25 to 26, I'll read it for you. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my Lord the King. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But a stump and a root of the tree were left in the ground, and this means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. That heaven rules. Nebuchadnezzar has 3 principal character faults in his life. 3 principal character faults. He neglected righteousness. He neglected righteousness. Number 2, he had shown and shows insufficient mercy to those that are oppressed. And number 3, he was guilty of pride. He was guilty of pride. God gave Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity to repent, to change his ways, and to honor God. But then in verses 28 to 30, just a bit further on, but all these things did happen to the king Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of his royal palace in Babylon, and as he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon, built by my own mighty power. I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. Look what I have done, was Nebuchadnezzar's cry. 12 months later, it just shows you what can happen. The warnings, and God speaks into our life, and we get back on. How many of us have prayed, God, get me out of this, and I will attend church every single week. God, get me out of this, and I'll give you my life. God, get me out of this, and I will tithe, and I will give. God, get me out of this, and I will bless. And God gets us out of a situation, and then we get back in to that same way. Nebuchadnezzar didn't heed the advice. I think maybe he pondered about it, maybe he thought about it, but 12 months later, he's saying, look what I have built. And straight away, God speaks right into his life. He's full of pride. He's full of pride. Nebuchadnezzar was driven from society. So we go into verses 31. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. Pride is one of the things in the Word of God. God says, I hate pride. God says, I hate pride. Nehemiah lost his reason, lost his mind. Uzziah, it says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Proverbs, pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. The kingdom of God is the way up is down. The way to be honored is to be in humility. And he travels for that period of time, eating the grass like a cow. It says his nails were like eagles' nails. And then there was that time there for it to come to an end, had Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my reason returned, and I praised and worshipped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is eternal. All the peoples of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and amongst the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? I'm sure many of us have prayed that. I'm sure many of us, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? That's not the way I asked for you to do it. God, that's not the way I want it worked out. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? When my sanity, my reason returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as head of my kingdom with even greater honor. How good is God? Greater honor than before. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true. And then he throws in something for us. And he is able to humble the proud. He is able to humble the proud. I'll let you catch your breath. So, Stephen, what is it you're asking us to do? What is it that we need to learn from this message today? What is it I need to take with me, Stephen, as I walk out these doors today? Number one, exalt Jesus, not ourselves. Exalt Jesus, not ourselves. Jesus is the one that is to be honored and glorified. Do you know, as I look at our life, or Annette and I look at our lives, everything that we have has been given by God to us. Everything that we have has been given by God to us, and he is the one that's to be glorified. He is the one. And it is so easy when we are in a place that's powerful, that's prosperous, that we can slip into that pride. So maybe your mantra is, I am so humble and I'm proud of it. Stephen, I'm proud of my humility. Humility, surrender. It's his kingdom. He rules. He's the one that lifts up. He's the one that honors. He's the one that gives. And he is the one that can take away. Offering our lives as living sacrifices to God. Do not offer your bodies as instruments of wickedness, but offer your lives to God as offerings of righteousness. God wants us to give him our lives. Exalt Jesus, not ourselves. In Romans chapter 1, there is a warning. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. And I believe that this speaks into even today's issues of life. It says, yes, verse 21 of Romans 1, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise. They instead became utter fools. And instead of worshipping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people, birds and animals and reptiles. Do you know the new God? Do you know many people are hearing about God? Many people are knowing about God, but they are not living their lives and honoring him as God. Do you know what we do sometimes? We try and bring God down and fit him into our world. God, that's quite hard. That's difficult to live by. And so we manage it, don't we? Well, I do. Sorry if I've been the only sinner here. We bring God down. We don't acknowledge God as God, but we bring him down to our situations. And we begin to form in our mind what God is like. Our world today will not acknowledge God as God. Believers sometimes, I mean the way that they live their lives. And when we don't give God his place, I believe we start to go down. Not in a good way. And our minds become darkened and futile. Exalt Jesus, not ourselves. Number two, acknowledge that God is sovereign. God will do what he does. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We want God's ways to be our ways, but they're not. He does what is just and right. Number three, just give you three things. Live in humility and allow the Holy Spirit to identify and remove every trace of pride in our lives. Every trace of pride from our lives. Do you know, as I grew as a Christian, I used to think, well, this is probably part of it, that having pride in your life, that you were walking about thinking, I am somebody. I am somebody. Rose, did you know that I am somebody? I mean, look at the church I've built. I mean, aren't I a good pastor? I mean, God needs to pat me in the back. That it was that declaring who you were. But you know, pride, there are so many areas of pride. Do you know, when Annette and I were struggling in our lives and having no money, no food, do you know what I mean? And people came to the door or people phoned us. Hey, let me buy you some groceries. No, it's okay, we're fine. We're all right. Or Annette would say, go and ask your dad. go round and ask your dad just for some food. No, I'm not going to ask my dad. I'm not asking. And many of us are in that place. Do you know what I mean? When people come up to bless us, we're like, oh, no, sorry. No, bless you for thinking of me. But no, sorry, I can't take it. If someone comes up to bless you, take it right away. Now you know me. If you come up to bless me, I will receive it, okay? Don't come up with 100 quid saying, he'll turn it down. Here, Stephen, there's 100 quid. No, you keep it. No, it's all right. You need it more than I do. I'll take it. I'll take it. But no, one of the things that we do, because someone has been praying and someone's heard God and they've heard, bless Sandy, bless Danny, or bless whoever, give them this gift, give them that gift. And when you say, no, 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 and when you don't receive it, I believe you steal that blessing from, and you know, humility. Our lives, God, I am totally dependent on you. And if I need help, I will ask for it. And that's the place that God wants us to acknowledge. When we start to elevate ourselves, no, I can do it, I can fix it, then God will speak into your life. Micah, coming near the end, Micah, as the people were bringing, God, what is it you want? Do you want all these sacrifices? God, we will bring all this stuff and offer it to you. And God says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. To do what is right. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Wow. Funny that, isn't it? Same three things. Nebuchadnezzar. Righteousness, mercy, and humility. Walking with God. And we are going to go into a time of worship and praise. The one phrase that really just that has just grabbed me today that I feel God wants to minister into their restoration for Nebuchadnezzar began when it says, when I lifted my eyes to heaven, my reason was restored to me. My sanity was restored to me. Let me just find it. Is it up there? It is, verse 34. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my reason returned, and I praised and worshipped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. And you know, it's when we lift our eyes to Jesus. You know, we are looking around and we're seeing our situations and just the fallout and the things that are going on in our lives. We look down and we just get discouraged and depressed and we just get anxious when we look down. But it's when we look up, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, he is the author, perfecter of our faith. He is the one who can bring. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God. Our help comes from God. And it's acknowledging, you know, when we lift our eyes to God, we are saying, God, I am in total surrender to you. God, I need you. God, I come into my life. Jesus, come and fill me. It's lifting our eyes. But when I looked to heaven, What are the ways that it helps us towards looking to heaven? It's our prayer. It is our worship. And I've got some things that we're going to minister into today. The prodigal son. It says, when he finally came to his senses, something changed. He realized his condition and he repented and he went back to his father. And I believe today God wants to minister into the areas of worry and anxiety, fear, do you know, the pain of memories. Do you know, everything today I believe is in our worship. God wants to just come in our minds. Trauma, willful sin, pride, depression, ungodly mindsets. Do you know, people suffering from headaches, migraines, mind cloud. Anyone ever had that? Your mind is just so cloud, you just can't think straight. And I believe God wants to come and just minister. Sleeplessness. Do you know, many people are not sleeping because there's so many things going round in their mind. They just can't think straight. Our thought processes. Our head is so busy that we just can't think. And breakthrough comes when we lift our eyes towards heaven. Come on, let's stand.